As you open your Bibles tonight to Ezekiel chapter 38, Ezekiel 38, a lot of things happening today, and oftentimes I'm asked, you know, does this point to anything in the Bible, all that's going on in the Middle East right now? And tonight I just have a few simple thoughts I would like to share with you, taken from Ezekiel 38. And there are some signs that the Lord has given us that He said is going to happen before His coming again. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 really are prophetical chapters and speaks, I believe, to the end times situations before the Lord comes. I believe the Lord is near at hand. I think He's coming is near at hand. And I think you and I would be do well to be prepared and to keep looking up. As a matter of fact, Luke 21:28 tells us, when these things begin to happen, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so I believe the Lord is soon coming. I really do. And I'm just going to bring a few simple thoughts. I'm not a very deep preacher. You know that already. And just a few thoughts tonight on this subject. And trust the Lord will bless it. But Ezekiel 38, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now, and help us to understand your word, and help us, Lord, to be ready for your appearing if you should come tonight or tomorrow. Lord, I do pray that your people might be found with their lights burning and vigilant watching, and also, Lord, faithful in their service to you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, and Lord, use us as we wait on your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The crisis in the Middle East is escalating beyond anything we could have ever imagined. In fact, it's beginning to look a lot like the scenario for the battle of Gog and Magog predicted by the prophet Ezekiel in our scriptures tonight. In its incredible prophecy of an end times invasion of Israel by an alliance of nations, Ezekiel 38 and 39 names many of the nations that have been raising voices of opposition and hostility in recent days. Verse 5 of Ezekiel 38 speaks of Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. How many of you know that Persia is Iran? Several of you know that already. If you didn't know that, then you've learned something. It was worthwhile for you to come tonight. Amen. But anytime you see Iran and all of the things that's happening in Iran, today's Iran, just remember and know that you read about Iran in the Bible under the name of Persia. The daily news is punctuated with biblical names that carry great prophetic significance. Syria, Iran, Iraq, Babylon, Afghanistan, Tyre, Sidon, Damascus, Tiberias, Jerusalem, and others. The eyes of the world are riveted on this explosive region, wondering what in the world is going to happen. The president of Iran is committed to the destruction of Israel. Its leaders have vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. No wonder Prime Minister Netanyahu came to America and went before Congress and trying to present his findings and his concerns about Iran being put on a path to develop the nuclear bomb. Iran has repeatedly called for the annihilation and the genocide of all the Jewish people. Their government maps do not even show the nation of Israel at all. It is now the custom, after prayers on Friday, I'm told, that the Muslim people for over an hour will shout and chant, "Death to Israel! Death to Israel!" Iran openly and publicly admits support for the Hezbollah guerrillas who terrorize Israel's northern borders and fire rockets into Israel. And in response, Peres reminded the Iranian leaders that Iran can also be wiped off the map. And he denounced Iran's mockery of the international community's efforts to solve the growing crisis surrounding Iran's nuclear program. He stated, "Iran presents a danger to the entire world, not just to Israel." And I believe he is absolutely 100% correct. What is now frighteningly apparent is how quickly we may enter into a global conflict. World War I began with the assassination of a political figure, the Archduke of Austria and his wife, by a Serbian nationalist. Before it was over, Germany and Russia, England, France, and even America were drawn into that conflict. World War II began with a border conflict between Germany and Poland. By the end of that war, nearly 30 million. You understand what I just said? 30 million people were dead. And about half of those were civilians. More than 400,000 of these were Americans. Started on September 1st, 1939. Did not end until August the 6th, 1945, when the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. On August 9th, an American plane dropped another atomic bomb on Nagasaki. Between these two bombs, it was estimated that 250,000 people died under the power of just two nuclear bombs, atomic bombs. The Japanese immediately offered to surrender, and on September the 2nd, 1945, called VJ Day, the Japanese signed the surrender papers on board the U.S. battleship Missouri, which was anchored then in Tokyo Bay, Japan. Tonight we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. but are led up in the war against Israel and the nations who align with her is not likely to come soon. The rhetoric we're hearing out of Washington sounds much like the appeasement policies of Neville Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister, who assured the whole world that he had secured a lasting peace with Adolf Hitler just a few days before World War II erupted on a massive scale. On the eve of World War II, many Jewish leaders in England were suggesting that Hitler's threats were only rhetorical. Only later did they come to the tragic realization that he meant what he said about the final solution. What he really meant by the final solution was the annihilation of the Jewish people. So it should not surprise the rest of the world that Israel is taking the Islamic threats very seriously. They know all too well that threats express the true attitudes of the heart. Angry threats express the anger of the soul. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders. Matthew 15:19. Most of us, as Americans, seem shocked by the continual threat of Islamic terrorism, ISIS, ISIL, all of that crowd. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get along with business as usual? But you know something, folks? The world that you and I knew growing up, our kids and our grandkids will never know. That world is gone forever. Do you remember how it used to be when you could board a plane without getting searched or scanned? I remember how that was. How convenient it was, the trust, but oh my. Our children will never know the world of safety and security that we grew up enjoying. And America is still in the bullseye of Islamic terrorists. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has frequently reminded us that the Islamic jihadists consider America to be the great Satan and Israel only the little Satan. Islamic hatred of America, democracy and freedom is rampant wherever extremist imams preach a message of hatred against Jews and Christians. Hezbollah spokesman Moitabi Bigdeli explained, "We are only waiting for the Supreme Leader's green light to take action." And he said, "If America wants to ignite World War III, we welcome it." And when asked if a nuclear attack on Tel Aviv would result in a similar attack on Tehran, The Iranian leader, Ahmadinejad, then responded, "So what? We would be in heaven and they would be in hell." What is now obvious is that militant Islam is a threat to world peace for everybody, not just Israel. And Islamic extremists are active everywhere. We have just begun bombing Syria and other places where we're told that ISIS is gaining ground. But it's not just in Syria, it's not just in Iran, and not just in Iraq. India, Indonesia, the Philippines, Britain, France. Don't think for a minute that ISIS will be assuaged or their threats will subside. They are bent on global Islamic conquest, and they always have been, they always will be. But in a world of instant satellite communication, jet travel, and ballistic missiles, and Iran now being on the path to nuclear warfare, the potential for global conflict is greater than ever before. Numerous biblical prophecies predict an invasion against Israel in the last days. Ezekiel 38 and 39, very specific about a host of nations that will be assembled against Israel in the last days. Magog, southern Prussia, today made up of numerous Islamic states, Persia, which is Iran, Kush, which is Sudan, Put, which is Libya, then there's Gomer, which many people believe is Germany, Turkey, Togarma of the North Quarters. And while biblical scholars debate over the exact identity of these nations, one thing is obvious. One thing is certain. They are all united in their determination to destroy Israel. And since this particular prophecy was never fulfilled in biblical times, those who take the Word of God seriously believe it will be fulfilled in the future, just as the prophecy itself indicates when it says in verse 8, after many days and in the latter years, verse 16. Ezekiel's prophecy indicates that this battle will occur on a massive scale. 5/6 of the invading army will be destroyed by fire. Ezekiel 39, verse 2. It'll take 7 months to bury the dead and 7 years to burn the weapons of warfare. Ezekiel 39, 9. Now, in this prophecy, God declares, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Verse 19 of Ezekiel 38. Every man's weapon will be against his brother. Verse 21. And God says in verse 22, I will rain upon him great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. The enemy shall fall upon the mountains of Israel. Chapter 39, verse 4. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. 39, verse 6. Gog and Magog, the prince and his confederacy, mentioned again at the close of the millennial kingdom in Revelation 20. Can we really take this prophecy literally? Scripture speaks of it with absolute certainty. Ezekiel 39, 8 says, behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. No such event has ever been recorded as occurring in the ancient world. And therefore, the prophecy remains to be fulfilled in the future. How close we are, no one can tell. But the current crisis and rhetoric indicates that such a conflict could accelerate into global and biblical proportions overnight. And at such a time as this, we need to heed the Savior's words in Luke 21:28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Reverend Mark Robinson, who writes for Israel's Messenger, says this. He says, although there are voices in Israel arguing for a military strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, there are other voices saying that Israel needs to accept the inevitable and start preparing stronger diplomatic initiatives to deal with Iran. The thinking with the second group is that the wrath of Obama, the United Nations, and Europe would come down on Israel if they would indeed unilaterally attempt to destroy Iran's nuclear facilities. And there is the concern that Israel alone does not have the military capability, short of using a nuclear bomb, to destroy Iran's nuclear fortifications. What we know from the prophetic text is that Iran, Persia, will be part of the Gog and Magog alliance of Ezekiel 38 and 39 that attacks Israel. That's going to happen. I believe all scriptural evidence points to this attack taking place just prior to the middle of the tribulation period. If this is correct, perhaps the proponents arguing for diplomacy on the part of Israel to resolve this will take place. And the seven-year tribulation period starts when the Antichrist initiates a seven-year peace agreement between Israel and her enemies, according to Daniel 9:27. This is diplomacy. If those arguing for Israel to attempt to militarily take out Iran's nuclear facilities win the day, one of the results would be the ire of Obama, the United Nations, and Europe. We know there will be increased anti-Semitism in the end times, and especially in the tribulation period. Revelation 12 and this action by Israel would certainly bring the hatred of these entities in greater intensity on Israel, perhaps enough to force Israel to sign that seven-year peace treaty. On Monday, July the 20th, the United Nations Security Council unanimously approved the deal with Iran. This action preceded the U.S. Congress vote on this agreement, anticipated sometime in September. The Security Council vote was done despite a number of U.S. politicians asking President Obama to delay the United Nations vote until after Congress votes. In effect, any power this country has over international agreements involving the U.S., with this vote setting a precedent, is subservient to the vote of the world. We're just one nation among many. The United Nations have already voted. The scriptures teach there will be a one world government in the tribulation period, controlled by the Antichrist, Revelation 13, verse 7. Could this Iranian agreement, orchestrated by the United States, along with England, France, Germany, Russia, and China, and approved by the world body of nations at the United Nations, accelerate the move toward the prophesied one world government? Not only might it do this, but it will do it. The Iranian deal is a disaster. But as Bible-believing Christians, we need to focus on the bigger picture. God and His plan for the world. We are hurtling at breakneck speed toward the tribulation period. Fasten your seatbelt, not to go into the turbulent time of God's wrath, but for God's rapture of His precious bride. Believing Jew and Gentile, before this 7-year period begins. God's people, believers, whether they're Jew or Gentile, those who have been born again, those who are living for Jesus, those who are being obedient to the commandments of God, the Lord is soon coming, and the bride of Christ is going to be caught up away from here. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. And so, things are happening now that's never happened before. And I believe the stage is rapidly being set for Jesus to come. And when Jesus comes and the church is gone, you can believe that all hell is going to break loose on this earth. I don't want to be here. And if I understand the Bible correctly, the Bible is able to keep His children, God's children. He's able to keep them from the wrath to come. And so I'm expecting, as I'm listening to the news and I'm mourning over the wrong decisions, the bad decisions that seem to have been made, I'm just going to trust the Lord that when it gets bad enough to lift us all out of here, and we're going to be gone. Amen? Amen. Some may say my message tonight's been a little bit political. Maybe it has. But the Bible is a little bit political when it goes to talking about nations and those countries, those nations that are coming down against Israel. And we're hearing about them and we're reading about them every day. And they're coming against Israel. It's more and more intense. Every day that we live, it's more intense. And we're getting nearer and nearer to Jesus coming. Are you ready? I hope you're ready. If you're not, you need to get ready tonight. You need to turn from that rebellion, that sin in your life. You need to accept Christ as your Lord and begin to follow Him like sheep follow the shepherd. Become the people that God wants you to be. Let's stand. Musicians coming.